This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published in the month of February of the year 2014, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. The subject scripture for this message is found in 1 John, not St. John, but 1 John, chapter number 9, and chapter 1 John, chapter number 1, and verse number 9. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It simply says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The title for this message, A Look at Forgiveness, God's Way. Now, the message for this month has to do with the main characteristic of God by which man can once again be seen and treated by God as being righteous. If it were not for this one characteristic, there would be no message that could be considered as the gospel or good news. Our existence on this earth, if we were allowed to exist at all, would be one of total misery and despair, because there would be nothing good for us to enjoy. Salvation, deliverance, healing, joy, peace, mercy, grace, and all of the other things that make up the good news of the gospel stem from the fact that God is willing to forgive mankind for what Adam did in the Garden of Eden when he sinned against him. After God had warned him what would happen if he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam chose to listen to Eve, who was the first one to disobey God and ate of the fruit of the tree, thus plunging all mankind and all creation, for that matter, into the darkness of God's wrath. I want to make it clear now, even though Eve was the first one to eat of the fruit, the curse came because Adam listened to his wife. When we consider just who God is and the power he wields over all things, then it stands to reason that if he chose not to forgive us, then quite frankly, there isn't anything that we can do to get out from under it. The mere fact that God didn't wipe Adam and Eve out after they did this thing shows that he possessed something that would set the stage for mankind to be brought back into the position that he had with him before the offense occurred. Forgiveness is the act of not only excusing someone for what they did to offend you, but, and this is a big one, to treat them as if they had never done it in the first place. If we look at the gospel, it relays that very idea to us. God was not only willing to forgive us, but to completely wipe any memory of our sins from his memory. Chapter 8, verse number 12 says, God is speaking, he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." The significance of this one act shows just how great our God is. He set the example of what forgiveness is really all about. If you and I were to review our lives, I would dare say there have been times when someone has done something to us that caused us to be angry at them and wanting to get even with them for what they did. However, whether I got the chance to do it or not made little difference to me, because I would always treat that person as if they had done that same thing to me every day. It was stuck in my memory, and as a result, I would stop speaking to them. If they asked me for help, I would turn them down. As far as I was concerned, they were persona non grata to me. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. Now, before I was saved, that would have been a good way to deal with those that had wronged me. However, now that I am saved, Christ has told me and everyone else that names him as Lord and Savior that we must put that type of mentality behind us and adopt the position of the Father when it comes to those that have in the past and still may do today offend or even persecute us. As a believer in Christ, we must take his approach to every situation that we face, no matter how it appears to us. Many times, we may feel justified based on just what the person did to us, but we have to remember that is nothing compared to what we did to the Father. We put him in the position of not only having to forgive us, but he had to sacrifice his only begotten Son to complete the total act of forgiveness that he had planned. He had other options available to use, but none of them would meet his standards. Seeing that he is a holy God, that he could have just wiped Adam and Eve out and given up on making someone in his image to fellowship with. If he had done that, then none of us would even be here. Another thing he could have done was to wipe them out and created a new couple to start populating the earth. However, he knew that just like Adam and Eve, this couple would eventually end up doing pretty much the exact same thing. So what would be the point in starting over? Things would end up the same way. Another thing that he could have done, and I gave some hint of it earlier, was to allow man to continue to exist without his intervening in their lives and let them literally destroy themselves. After all, it was his curse that was doing it. What with the wars, killings, famines, sicknesses and diseases, just to name a few, mankind was doomed to have a totally miserable existence on this earth, then die only to find himself in hell. All deserved, mind you, and God would have been justified in it. But he looked at man and saw something worth saving. He saw himself in us, because we were made in his image, and even though at times he bemoaned the fact that he had made us in the first place, he followed through with his plan to make the way for us to return to the position we had with him before sin entered into the picture. In other words, he wiped the slate clean. Taking a look at it from this perspective, I see that since I am now his child, not only made in his image, but have his mind and spirit in me, then I likewise have to look at all individuals with the same eye that the Father has and see them as he saw me when I was busy offending him 24/7. I have to see them as being made in his image and worthy of not only being forgiven, but to completely wipe the slate clean when it comes to whatever they have done to offend me. Many will say that is impossible to do, because that would mean people would be able to literally be getting away with murder, rape, and other crimes, and we would have chaos in the streets. Well, it is not that people should not have to suffer for their wrongdoings as much as that there should be a way of reconciliation after the punishment is over. After all, what is punishment in the first place? It is to make the person suffer some sort of pain or confinement for what they have done. Well, after they have suffered this punishment, then why should they then be subjected to more punishment at the hands of the same ones that they have offended? Do you see my point? As I mentioned earlier, if God treated us like that, then where is the grace and mercy or the gospel message? If we were to look at the Bible in total, talking about all 66 books and letters, we would find the complete foundation of what God wants and expects from us. He addresses the totality of how man should conduct himself in all things, including righteousness, sin, and punishment. There are times when, because of a certain person's behavior, the punishment should be that they are put to death. Why? Because the nature of the individual is such that they are more likely to commit the exact same offense more readily again. However, in this, God's forgiveness is still there for them. Many say that capital punishment is cruel, but though necessary, it still offers God's grace to the condemned, because it brings them to the realization that, barring anything outside of their own control, they will die on a certain date at a certain time. That realization gives them the opportunity to get right with God so that they can enter into heaven when they die. That is something that those of us that are out here not facing that situation are in danger of talking about dying without knowing when it will happen and being without God's forgiveness. Now, is God's forgiveness automatic? Is it just heaped on us without us having to do anything? The answer is no. In order for us to obtain His forgiveness, we have to ask for it. In order to do that, we have to admit or confess our sins to Him and make an honest attempt to turn away from doing it or them again. In the Old Testament, that was done through the process of offering sacrifices to God through the blood of animals and the like. Today, those sacrifices have been replaced by one blood sacrifice, and that is the blood of Christ, God's only begotten Son. All one has to do is ask to have their sins covered by the blood of Jesus, and God will not see them anymore. In like manner, our forgiveness of a person that has offended us should be along those same lines. If they are willing to admit that they have wronged us and apologized, then we are to restore them back to the position that they had with us before the offense occurred. This idea of saying, "I forgive them, but I don't want to have anything to do with them," is the same as saying you will continue to punish them as if they committed an offense that is worthy of their being punished for life or put to death. If it was something criminal and they have been put in jail or prison and served their time, then that should be the end of it. A lot of problems that we have with what are called repeat offenders is that when they get out of prison, they can't get a productive place in society because of what is on their records. So the only thing left for them to do is either find some way to start their own business so that they can survive, or go back to doing what they did that got them in trouble in the first place. What if God did us like that? And mind you again, we are guilty of a lot worse. Yet he chooses to completely forgive us. The other thing is, by your refusing to completely forgive this person, you are then putting yourself in the position of sinning against God, where you have to repent. And mind you, that means making a sincere and honest attempt to turn away from that behavior. That means you will have to go to the person that you refuse to forgive and ask them to forgive you. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. You can find that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 15. Now, ain't that a kick in the face? All of this makes absolutely no sense to those that are outside of Christ. It seems like total foolishness. But once again, this message is not for them. It is for those that name the name of Christ and who he has called to be the bearers of the gospel and to represent him to the world by letting them know that if we can completely forgive and forget what someone has done to us, then they can possibly see a God that will forget about their past if they come to him. Now, isn't that what God really wants? Well, that's the end of our message for this session, and I hope and trust that you got something from it, because this whole thing about forgiveness, there's a lot here that a lot of people don't really think about, they don't really know about, they can't understand how it really works, because they always, you know, it doesn't make sense to them, because they are using common sense, and that's where the problem is. I did a message prior to this one for January talking about walking around in a dark room, where you're walking around and you're in a dark room and you're walking around stumbling over things because there's no light in the room, and you bumping into things and stumbling, falling down and possibly injuring yourself or something like that. And the reason why you're in that position is like walking through life is the same way. You don't understand how life works or how things go, because in order for you to do that, you would have to take a look at things in the spiritual realm, which in the case of this message, that is also the whole point behind the idea of God's forgiveness and how we should treat those that offend us, because we're trying to show give them an image of a God that is willing to forgive them no matter what that they have done, and not only forgive them but to forget about what they have done, so that they can too have enter into heaven. I think a lot of people get their lives all messed up, and they figure, well, there's no sense of them trying to do anything to come to God for, because if we humans can remember what somebody's done to us, and God is all-knowing and all-powerful, then surely He knows what we've done in the past, and they can't get away from it. So what's the sense of trying to live a lie? You might as well just, like they say, live life with all the gusto you can. Just have party on and things like that until you die and suffer the consequences. You might as well have all the fun you can have now, because when you die, that's it. There is no forgiveness because you've done so much wrong. Well, see, that's a lie. That's what the devil wants you to believe, because that's not the case at all with God when it comes to mankind. Because like I said, we're made in His image in the first place. And like the Bible says, God is not willing that any of us should perish. Well, we know we're all going to die. So what does it mean, perish? That means He's not willing that any of us should end up in hell, because hell was actually made for the devil and his angels. But because man wanted to follow after what the devil was doing and participate in it, then hell, the Bible says, hell has enlarged herself to take mankind in as well. But that's not the way God wants it to be. So He does everything He can to make it possible for us not to have to go there. And we're fighting Him on that front. It's like we just want to go to hell. And that's ridiculous. Well, that's all for this message. I hope you got something from it. And hopefully, until we get together next time for another message from the Word of God, may you and your family have a very good day.